Hey there everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Fairbit Perspective, a podcast where you'll find a bunch of teenagers expressing their views on basically anything we want. So today we are joined with two fellow earthlings, Arnav.
Hi everyone, it's Arnav.
And Vansh, whom you all must be remembering from the previous podcast.
Yeah, they won't be remembering because the last time I forgot to introduce myself.
Typical Vansh.
I'm a douche.
Yeah, we know that.
No arguments.
Now, as you all could probably make out from the title of the podcast, we're going to discuss a rather awakening and important issue today, which in one way or the other is surely relatable to every one of us out there. That is, are intellectuals getting ignored in our modern day society? Now, before we roll the dice forward, I believe that it's important that we set a definition as to who we believe to be an intellectual. I seek to set this via 3 points. Number one, an individual who is deeply involved in abstract, erudite ideas and theories. Number two, an individual whose profession solely involves the dissemination and or production of ideas as opposed to producing products or services. For example, lawyers, accountants, professors, politicians, entertainers, and scientists. Third, cultural intellectuals are those of notable expertise in culture and the arts. Expertise which allows them some cultural authority, which they then use to speak in public on other matters. Guys, I hope that we are on the same page regarding this. Also, if there is any further specification or attribute that you all would like to add to a personified intellectual, please do so.
Yash, I would like to add to it. I believe an intellectual is also someone who challenges binary oppositions, bridges cultural gaps, has the cognitive flexibility to connect to various disciplines, and passionately defends a nuanced way of thinking.
Yep. So now the basics being settled, let's move on. So the agenda here is kind of mainstream, but it can also be found to be extremely manipulative in ways of understanding.
Yeah.
So while it's completely up to a person to have their own choices, like obviously, I mean, you can't actually go out saying that this person X is an intellectual, go follow him. Yeah, no one does that.
Isn't that the whole ideology of politics?
Shrewd one, shrewd.
Okay. To narrow it down to a few points, I would like to believe that an intellectual is not getting recognized because of a few factors that are the mentality of the youth, the way in which the electronic media influences and portrays the world, and also the rather eccentric idea of people that one who doesn't perform a march or doesn't come in interviews or is always posting something controversial on Twitter is a fork to the world that is soup. Okay, so guys, I have plenty of intriguing questions lined up for you all, starting off with Arnav. Arnav, do you think that if a person is considered to be an intellectual, then he or she would obviously be in the apparent limelight on a weekly basis?
The truth is that they are constantly being criticized by the public and the government alike for thinking in a manner which is a little bit off, if not more, from the mainstream ideas of the masses. To give power to my thought, Elif Shafak, a Turkish-born novelist now residing in the United Kingdom, highlighted this persecution of thought in her motherland Turkey, saying, and I quote, "Increasing today, intellectuals are demonized in pro-government media, trolled on social media, accused of being traitors or collaborating with Western powers," unquote. I hope it represents properly what the situation is. And what I also believe is that if a person is not getting enough recognition, it does not mean that he is not an intellectual. It's a matter of publicity, not intellectuality. It doesn't define who the person is.
Yep, undoubtedly. Also, Vansh, moving on to Vansh, if you could describe the mindset of today's youth in a few words, how do you describe it?
Talking about youth per se, we must first understand as Indians what separates our youth with the youth of the West. To unravel this, I believe the education system and parental conditions of both worlds must be considered, as they constitute major factors in outlining the youth. Indian education system has been living under a great dilemma. The dilemma between Western education and Indian parenthood.
Yep.
Parents of this generation have had very less global exposure, and the ex- education system of this generation has had almost null Indian influence and wisdom. This is the underlying dilemma and struggle behind the everyday Indian youth, who has a constant battle between freedom and responsibility, a battle between tradition and modernism, a battle between the East and the West. An Indian kid is taught science from the West at school and is made to worship God's idols at home. Then he is a constant pendulum, balanced by no one. Then he turns a little older and enters college. This is when a common Western kid is made to work odd jobs where he learns to handle society on his own and earns his living. In this way, the Western kid learns his life skills, which on the other shore of the world seems to be inherently lacking in the Indian kid.
Yeah.
He seems to have no life skills at all and enters a college with the constant pampering of his parents or subconscious pampering due to the taken for granted facilities provided to him at his home.
Yep.
This also passes very soon. He enters a workplace and finds life to be very cruel. Now his labor starts and his mind is unable to chew what is given to him. And soon he becomes a corpse with no hobbies, no interests, and no art and no fun. Truth to be told, the only real fun he thinks he's having is going to the club on the weekends and pouring out through alcohol and dark manic music his frustration of the week. He is not aware he's cathartic to his diseases.
Yep.
He soon grows pale, fat and ugly, marries a sweet household girl who can prepare him food and give him babies, and again is born another great Indian kid. This cycle goes on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the sad part is, majority of people fantasize this mundane lifestyle.
Yeah. For Indians, this is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
In life.
So anyway, Vansh, that was a wonderful answer. So moving on, Vansh, what role do you think the media plays in framing our mindset and perceiving things differently as compared to what they really are?
Yes, media is very important. The fact is that we can make judgments about other people based on what they consume or what shows they are consuming. When constructing and maintaining our own identities, we turn to be pretty careful to select products that will send the right message to others. So for example, many men wishing to communicate a masculine identity won't wear pink or yep. use bathe products marketed to women.
Absolutely.
One meaning we learn at a very young age is what identifies a beautiful person. Unfortunately, this learning is heavily influenced by our consumption of media portrayals of ideal bodies, which are often unrealistic and unattainable. This can not only lead us to create identities that include negative conceptions of our own attractiveness, but it can also lead us to spend a lot of money consuming products in the hope of changing our appearance. For example, we might spend money on makeup, lotions, and expensive gadgets, creams purported to make skin younger, or even might as well get a cosmetic surgery.
Yep.
You know whom I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that.
Ultimately, though these products rarely, if ever, transform us into movie stars and supermodels, we are left unfulfilled and still feeling bad about ourselves. I firmly believe there was a time that we shaped the media. People were rewarded in the media for their achievements and scorned for their failures. Today, thanks to social media and its ability to involve everyone in the public sphere of communication, media shapes the main characters in media storylines. The bottom line is that media has changed. Media is influenced by the public sphere of communication, and people want heroes. They want villains, storybook endings, and drama. That's why you see Sushant Singh Rajput's tragic death being broadcasted on the television every night. Social media has allowed the public opinions to be heard so the media can shape the characters and storylines we want to hear. So now the question to be put forth is, do we shape media or does media shape us?
I believe the majority of us would agree to the latter part, that the media is surely shaping us, shaping the generation
surely,
these days.
Surely. While totally agreeing with Vansh, I'd like to add to it that the fall of intellectuals from grace is also a sign of the collapse of pluralistic liberal democracy
yep.
and internationalism. Without public intellectuals, the media has catapulted people into a world of prefixed dualities. It's the us versus them format. Nuances are evaporating. We are already seeing signs of this trend on every major issue. An artificial polarization is imposed on us. in public debates on TV and elsewhere, we watch an atheist scholar being pitted against a theist scholar, or a pro-Brexit Brexit speaker against an anti-Brexit speaker. So without intellectualism, there's no path for liberalism. I believe that intellectuals and liberalism are intertwined.
Yeah, true. Okay, moving on, Arnav, overall, what do you think of the situation? I mean, it's not really a dire situation, but still, do you think that the mindset of people would evolve regarding this in the foreseeable future?
I think the situation right now is heading towards worse. The world is surely moving fixed dualities with no one left with enough power to ask why does it have to be this way. The demise of intellectuals is already a sign of failing democracy, where people have little or no regard for the freedom of speech of others and only care about what they speak themselves. This would only make things easier for autocrats and demagogues. This ignorance was seen at the highest levels of a governance when Donald Trump ignored his own expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and one of the most reputed virologists in the world in tackling the ongoing COVID pandemic in the United States of America. And now the people of America are heavily paying for this misstep. The situation could certainly have been a little bit better than what it is right now if Trump lent an ear to what Fauci was saying.
I won't say that there is no future for it. For it now. But over the past few years, there has also been the rise of several small but fiercely independent online portals, fact-checking websites, and investigative outlets in the country. Despite facing defamation suits, court cases, they have been responsible for some of the major breakthroughs in our country, which keeps the government in check and India's democracy alive.
Absolutely.
Debates on private news channels. Debates on private news channels have been censured for being strident and shrill. India has one of the world's most vibrant and competitive media environments. It is now time to conduct a reality check and ask whether all is well with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To end it on a note, I would like to say that intellectuals should be bold and loud and, yes, offensive. It is high time to stop denigrating the term. At least out of respect for those people who pay a heavy price in other parts of the world just to be public intellectuals.
Yeah, true one. Okay, guys.
And to
bol.
And to just put it out there that political satirists, you don't have to abuse them. It's their opinion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. People should respect everyone's opinion.
Yeah, yes, that's, which doesn't happen.
That's basically what we consider a democracy to be.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So winding up, I believe it's safe to say that the fame and reputation of intellectuals is hanging on the edge of a cliff and is totally dependent on one's perspective and on what is showed to us via the media. The media, which basically shows us things that makes us fantasize the beguiling world, which is certainly not possible after all. Well, what can we do? The world ain't even a utopia after all. So I guess we'll have to stick with things as they are right now. So,
yeah.
Okay, guys. Thanks for listening. I mean, if you're still listening, it means a lot to us. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Had a nice time.